Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, taking a look at the main news stories of the day, which tonight includes the reaction of local authorities on the island to the proposed offshore wind farm. We'll have more details on that in a few minutes. Have you heard of road pods? Well, some people who've seen the ones near Mount Murray aren't happy, apparently. With Christmas fast approaching, how can you make sure you don't start the new year with financial headaches? And it's not just an opening, it's an M&S opening. The new food hall is fully open now, and it has a bit of a Manx theme. We'll also have a look at the UK budget, which has been announced this afternoon, and thinking about any possible implications for us here on the Isle of Man, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, you can text the studio 166 177. We'll start with a look at the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The Treasury says it's in the process of reviewing the measures announced by the UK Chancellor today in her autumn statement. Treasury Minister Alex Allenson says his department is assessing how the announcements made by Rachel Reeves may affect the island, whilst looking ahead to the Isle of Man budget in February 2026. Starting this evening, the island will increase duty rates for tobacco products by retail price index plus 2%, whilst all alcohol duty rates will increase from the 1st of February 2026, in line with the UK RPI. Plus, in accordance with the Customs and Excise Agreement with the UK, the Isle of Man will continue to apply the cut in fuel duty by 5p per litre until September 2026. In other news, an MHK believes the government must seriously consider opposition to the Morvan and wind farm proposals by the UK's Ministry of Defence. The MOD believes the proposals would have a significant detrimental impact on military and aviation operations. And 18 young people were responsible for around two-thirds of the juvenile offences that appeared before Manx courts in the last financial year. The Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, revealed the figures in the House of Keys this week.
The number of juvenile offenders and re-offenders has decreased over the past 2 years, although the number of offences has remained similar.
Further afield, the UK Chancellor says she's delivered a budget to cut the cost of living despite announcing £26 billion of tax rises. Rachel Reeves' plans include an extended freeze on income tax thresholds, something she's denied breaks Labour's manifesto promises.
I'm not going to get into semantics. I recognise that we are asking people to contribute more, but I've managed to keep that contribution as low as I possibly can by closing loopholes and asking those with the broadest shoulders to pay more.
Meanwhile, the Office for Budget Responsibility is under fire after leaking details of the Chancellor's speech early. Elsewhere, a man's pleaded guilty to seriously injuring people by driving into fans at Liverpool's Premier League title parade. And the Indian city of Ahmedabad has been confirmed as the host of the 2030 Commonwealth Games. They're your headlines. I'll have your news in full at six.
Thanks very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's really miserable tonight. Overcast, extensive hill fog, occasional outbreaks of rain or drizzle. Fresh a strong southwest wind. That's all the good news. Temperatures falling no lower than 10 Celsius. Cloudy with the ongoing risk of rain or drizzle for much of tomorrow. It will become dry later in the day. There'll be some clear spells developing. It's still going to be pretty windy though. There'll be strong southwest winds. Best temperatures tomorrow will be 14. And then pretty similar on Friday. Sunny intervals and occasional blustery showers.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility and Onken have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rice recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. So we heard on the programme yesterday about the objection to the Morvannon offshore wind farm by the UK Ministry of Defence. But actually, our local authorities over here on the island have also been putting their thoughts forward about the proposed scheme, which would see turbines on the eastern side of the Irish Sea. Well, our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper is with me now. Emma, which local authorities submitted a response?
So only 3 of the island's local authorities have submitted a response to the plans. Ramsey Commissioners, Garth Commissioners and Douglas Council. You may remember at the end of August that Garth Commissioners actually held a public meeting to help inform its response based on the views of its residents. Now, Onchan Commissioners did not submit a comment to the application, despite also being potentially affected by the proposal.
Obviously, it has been a point of contention for a number of local authorities and their residents. So what have these 3 authorities said then?
It has. So both Ramsey and Garth have objected to the proposal. They've both cited impacts on the visual amenity of the areas, financial challenges faced by Ørsted, disruption to the fishing and shipping industry, as well as the lack of benefit to residents. A request was also put forward by Ramsey commissioners that it should receive a fair share of any potential benefits, as the town could become a centre of operation and it should also provide support for the shipyard. Garth commissioners added that the application doesn't include a complete costed decommissioning plan, and because of this they believe it's flawed and incomplete. It also adds that possible benefits can't compensate for any permanent effects on the island's seascape, biodiversity and cultural heritage, which it believes could be damaging.
Okay, so what about Douglas Council then? What was their position?
So the council is in support of the application by Ørsted, but with a couple of caveats. That includes the protection of sea routes and that any surplus electricity generated is kept for the island. As with Ramsey commissioners, the council has asked that any community fund money is allocated to the 3 local authorities who would be affected by the project. It also says that if Port Skillen Beach is chosen as a landfall location, it would want to be involved in more detailed discussions on how that would impact the beach and surrounding areas. Ørsted would need the council's permission to develop there because the council owns the area. The council is also supporting the application because the scheme could enhance biodiversity and that having available green energy on the Isle of Man is realistically its only way to achieve net zero and carbon reduction targets.
Emma Draper, thank you very much indeed. Well, that application from Ørsted has now been referred to the examination stage and a panel has been selected by government, which will be going through those responses. 7:30 past 5. Well, as we just heard in the news headlines, the UK's autumn budget has been unveiled. And while it's aimed at the 4 home nations, quite a bit of it still can reach us here on the Isle of Man. Christian is with me now. Christian Fastemeyer, you know, the budget is a huge document. Can you just give us the headlines? What actually matters for the Isle of Man?
Yeah, first of all, Beth. So a few things land here straight away. So the UK has extended the 5p fuel duty cut to September 2026. And because fuel duty is an excise tax inside the shared customs system, that applies automatically to the island. The same goes for tobacco and alcohol. Tobacco duty rises by 2% above the higher RPI measure of inflation, and that comes into effect from 6 this evening. Alcohol duty, that goes up in February, but those increases will flow straight across.
What about VAT? There was no change there.
Yeah, no change, which gives the Manx Treasury some short-term stability, I suppose. But the Office for Budget Responsibility is forecasting UK growth of around 1.5% next year with inflation easing back. And that matters for us because it influences the VAT that we receive through what's known as the common purse.
Now, I think one of the more eye-catching announcements was the UK's new high-value property surcharge. Does that affect us?
Not directly. Our rating system is separate, but estate agents here say it could push more high-value buyers towards the Isle of Man because the island has no capital gains tax, no inheritance tax, no equivalent surcharges. And they describe it as a push and pull effect, pressure on the UK on one side and what they describe as stability here on the other.
And I'm right in saying, aren't I, that a lot of the other UK measures simply don't apply to us, do they?
Absolutely. Things like income tax freezes, national insurance thresholds, business rates, the mileage charge for electric cars, the national living wage, those all stop at the border. But some of them will still shape behaviour or expectations locally, especially around wages, pensions and the wider economic outlook.
So then, Christian, what would you say would be the main takeaway tonight?
Well, it's a mixture of automatic changes and some indirect influences. The Treasury has told us that it's noted the budget and it's now reviewing the details ahead of its own budget, which is expected in February 2026.
Christian, as ever, I bet you had lots of fun going through that document. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. It is coming up to 10 past five. Now, 18 young people were responsible for around two-thirds of the juvenile offences that appeared before Manx courts in the past financial year. The Home Affairs Minister revealed those figures in the House of Keys this week. In total, 69 young people were responsible for the 293 cases heard in 2024-25. Jane Paul Wilson was asked how much is being spent on addressing that problem.
Addressing youth offending is not a matter solely for the Constabulary or the Department of Home Affairs, and there is no shared funding model in order to provide the Honourable Member with the cost in totality of this complex area. From the Department's perspective, reducing and preventing youth offending is a priority within the policing plan for 2025-26. However, addressing juvenile offending is a consistent theme across all policing activity. This work intersects with every department within the Constabulary at various stages. As such, it is not possible to quantify all Constabulary costs relating to addressing youth offending. The annual costs of positions within the Constabulary that are primarily focused on this work, which is school liaison officers and staff in the Police Early Action Team, is £308,171. However, this is not the full amount for the reasons I have stated. The Chief Constable's latest annual report shows that the number of juvenile offenders and re-offenders has decreased over the past 2 years, down respectively by 32% and 27%, although the number of offences has remained similar. And detailed data sets out that in 2023-24, 68 young people were involved in the 203 matters put before the courts that year. In 24-25, 69 young people were responsible for the 293 matters put before the courts, with 18 of those young people responsible for 199 of those matters placed before the courts. As mentioned in my initial answer, the Police Early Action Team continues to work to prevent and address youth offending and re-offending, and the proposed target operating model for addressing youth justice, once approved and implemented, will, I hope, further align all agencies' efforts to achieve the same. The figures I gave before were those that had actually gone to court, but a substantial number of young people are actually diverted through diversionary programmes.
That's the Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson speaking in the House of Keys this week. 12 minutes past five. So they're designed to get the sort of information that is going to make our roads safer. But road pods, which have been installed on the route south past Mount Murray, have attracted some criticism. John Moss has been talking to the DOI Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood.
So they're picking up speed and the volume of traffic, and they give us really detailed data about how much traffic is moving around that road. It's a well-known problem that we've got to deal with, the road going south from that. We've obviously resurfaced that part up at Mount Murray, but we've got to deal with the road going south, and it's really important we understand how much traffic we are going to have to displace. This is the first time we've used them on the island, so it is new. I appreciate it's novel, and it caused some consternation.
Presumably they have been tested thoroughly elsewhere?
Absolutely, yeah. They're a well-established means of monitoring traffic. They're much faster for us to install, and they give us much better real-time data.
And they're not dangerous. I mean, motorbikes saying if you hit them, it can cause you to swerve.
As my husband pointed out to me, and he does ride a motorbike regularly, he said he thinks there are some more dangerous manhole covers than there are those pods, and he regularly rides, and he said he doesn't have any issue with them. I've spoken to other people who said, well, actually, I tend not to ride in the centre of the lane anyway, because if there's ever any fuel on the road, that's where it'll be. You tend to ride in the tyre tracks if you can, because you know that's the cleaner bit of the road that's safer to ride on as a motorcyclist. There are signs up today warning that there are road monitoring equipment in the centre of the lane. So I think we've had a lot of publicity around this, and I'm sure that most of the motorbike riders will be well aware now. I'd advise all motorcyclists to, you know, have due regard to the road that's in front of them. I think it's really important. I've come from being a cyclist myself, never been a motorcyclist. Actually, you know, when you're riding a bike of any sort, things like drain covers and manhole covers and, you know, depressions in the road and everything like that actually cause you to change your path, and you do spend a lot of time being very vigilant to the road surface. The advantages for us are they are lower cost and they're faster to install.
Lower cost than what?
Lower cost than the pneumatic tubes that we use. Uh-huh. These are easier to install. We don't have to damage the carriageway to the same extent as we do for other methods.
That's the DOI Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, talking to John Moss there.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, the police aren't reporting anything, which is always good news on your way home. In Onchan until the 6th of December, Blackberry Lane is currently one way. That's from Governor's Road down to Summerhill. That's for emergency gas repairs. So traffic can't turn from Summerhill onto Blackberry Lane at the moment. Temporary lights still on King Edward Road between Growdle and the old Liverpool Arms. And in Braddon, still those temporary lights on Saddle Road for emergency gas repairs. All okay down at the airport, and the Manxman due in at around about 20 to 6, heading out again to Heysham at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
So it is that time of year where it's important to ensure your things you buy during Black Friday, Cyber Monday and the festival sales are budgeted for to make sure you're financially secure going into the new year. It's the advice from an officer at the Office of Fair Trading, and Chanel Suku has this report.
This week marks the start of the shopping season. Well, it does for me. And whether you're excited for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, or just trying to avoid going into any shops, you have to admit that it's hard to escape the emails and adverts promoting the sale of cheap, tempting items. So what can we do to make sure we don't overspend this year and end up with a load of things that we don't actually want or need? Well, I've been talking to some experts in the area. First, Harry Brierton is a consumer advisor at the Office of Fair Trading. He says in order to be financially secure heading into the new year, shoppers need to have more self-control and stick to a budget.
It's not the most exciting thing in the world, unfortunately, but if you have a clear idea of your income and your expenditure, you then have a good idea of what you can afford to spend. I think the important thing is to know that the season is a week out of the year, and it's far more important to be happy and financially secure heading into the new year rather than put all your costs on that 1 week and then struggling.
Meanwhile, Sam Hudson, a junior cybersecurity analyst at the Cybersecurity Centre, says we're approaching the peak time for things like scams, and so there is a lot more to be aware of to keep safe.
It's somewhat of a cliche, but it really is the case that if something is too good to be true, if something does seem a bit unrealistic at first, it's really a time to stop and think, is this really true? And that can be checked by looking further into where this advertisement is seen and what the reviews are saying about the business. And then other places to be more cautious would be on social media. It's where a lot of people will see things that grab their attention.
Well, if you're going to be spending this festive season, remember to do it wisely and securely. It's a rich man's
world. Chanel with her hands firmly on her purse strings there. It is 17 and a half minutes past five. Now, the Douglas branch of Marks & Spencer has launched its new food hall today. New branding there as well, reflecting the Isle of Man. More than 100 people have been employed through this new refurbishment, with work planned to begin in the fashion, house and beauty areas in the new year. Store manager Caroline Brand says with the bigger space and range, they have noticed more footfall in the store. And she says it's the number one for the businesses for gift card sales. The branch has managed to get its own cards with a new logo on it, which has the three legs of man.
Bigger space, bigger range, 100 new colleagues, regional branding, regional products due in the next few weeks. I mean, it's just been amazing. It offers everything that the UK counterparts do.
And are you noticing more footfall in the store?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely busier. I mean, hot chicken you mentioned. Who knew it would be so, so busy? The first Sunday it was open, I was in the store and they were literally queuing out the door for it. It was incredible. But definitely some learnings from it in the first few days.
I think it also helps with convenience for people as well. I mean, if you're rushing at the end of the day, it's easier to pop in, grab one and, you know, take it home. That's your dinner.
Absolutely. And we have a massive customer base in here for food on the move. So our lunchtime trade, and you can buy half a chicken now, so you can have a hot meal on a cold day.
With the revamp, 100 new employees.
They're going to be a huge boost to us in helping the customer find what they need and service. We go into the second part of renewal in January, so we renew our fashion, home and beauty area. So a lot of the colleagues that are coming in on the food hall at the moment will then go over to fashion, home and beauty.
Any teasers ahead of that reopening?
It's going to look beautiful. It's going to look completely different to what it looks now. One thing to mention, actually, with all the investment that's gone into the store is it's not just been the front of house. So we've done a lot of stuff back of house as well. We've refreshed our lounge. We've refreshed facilities for the colleagues behind. So it's been a full store renewal. So we've got a new gift card with the Three Legs of Man on. We've got a new shopping bag on the food hall with the Three Legs of Man on. We've got it all over our light boxes. We've got a feature wall at the trolley bay that's got a huge big Douglas sign on. The business have really bought in to the essence of Isle of Man, and we're really, really lucky to get it. We fought long and hard for it. We are the number one store in the business for gift card sales, so to have them recognise that and to give us our own gift card has been tremendous. And really good for the colleagues as well to see that come through. We wanted something really, really recognisable as a symbol of being Manx, and what's more Manx than the Three Legs of Man. So we were involved at every stage. We were sent photograph proofs of they were laying out the vegetables to do it. I mean, it's been really immersive and really well consulted within the store. So very, very proud of the fact that we got that over the line.
That's M&S store manager Caroline Brand. Now, having made his name as a professional cyclist from the Isle of Man, Tyler Hannay has announced he's looking to turn his skills to triathlon next year. The Manxman's revealed a change in direction for his ambitions in an update to followers on his YouTube channel this week.
Until about midway through this year, 2025, I was on the pro cycling dream, chasing it, seeing what was going to happen. For one reason or another, I decided to stop it and yeah, do other things and focus on my life. First question, will I be racing for UCI team, going back into pro cycling? No, I have a nice job which provides me sustainable income. I like that. I like the balance between the two. Second question, will I be doing different events? Yes, I will be. For 2026, I am going to switch it up. I am going to do road racing in the Isle of Man and also in the UK. Might even go further abroad to do some Grand Fondos, but we will see. But mainly road racing and time trialing and crit racing in the UK and the R of Man. Also, I have decided I am going to do a triathlon. I like sport and I want to see what is out there and see competing. I've been doing a bit of swimming, a bit of running and cycling. So yeah, I have entered triathlon. I have entered 70.3 Valencia, 19th of April, gives me quite a few months, feeling good with it all. This is from someone who hasn't run and someone who hasn't swum, so I am starting from zero, and with that means I am going to be doing some running races, some bike races, some triathlons on the Isle of Man, further abroad. Just who happens to be, so in 2026, I want to be as fit as I can and competing as much as I can, because yeah, life is too short to not try different things, and that is the beauty of sport, fitness, etc. Bit different, I know, but a change is as good as a rest sometimes.
That is Tyler Hannay there with his ideas about what's going to be happening in 2026. 22 minutes past five. So what do Eurovision and the Manx Music Festival have in common? Well, both back as usual next year, and the Guild is going to have a special one-off class celebrating the 70th anniversary of the International Song Contest. Howard Kane has been talking to Festival Secretary Sandra Loach, who first told him just how early the planning for each year's event starts.
Start looking at the syllabus before the next festival even starts, to be honest with you, because we start to look at what's happened with the entries. So if we've got classes where there's been consistently no entries for a few years, so do we need to have that in the next syllabus? And then actually as the festival's running, we're looking at it going, that class isn't working so well, there's something not quite right there, or maybe someone's managed to get away around the rules that we hadn't thought of, and again we start to tighten the rules up. So yeah, the planning for the following year, including the syllabus, starts actually before each festival.
And of course, the thing is, with something like the Guild, which is so embedded in Manx culture and been going for so long, of course, you know, you can't expect all the classes to be just as popular now that maybe were popular in the 1920s or 30s.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what we're finding. Obviously, we've still got all our foreign art song classes, our the British composers, the American art song, all of those. We've got those sort of older style classes still that were there previously, the leader, that kind of thing. But then when you look at the younger generation, where they're competing, the classes they're most interested in are things like songs from the musicals, which we've actually renamed this year to songs from the shows. That's becoming much more popular. In fact, that we've had to split one of the junior classes that we started even just a year ago, we've split that into two because there were so many entries for that one class. It went on all afternoon. So those are the kind of songs and the kind of classes that they're wanting to compete in. So we're trying to make sure that we keep the younger generation interested without losing the people who are used to the more traditional classes, audience-wise and people entering as well.
And it is so difficult to move with the times whilst honouring the tradition of something like the Guild, which, again, you know, you and I and so many others grew up with as part of our childhoods. And I'm thinking in the last few years there have been new classes like, you know, the stand-up comedy class and I think drag class. And I suppose you don't really know until you try these things.
Yeah, so unfortunately those two classes, they were fantastic, brilliant ideas behind both of them, but they didn't take off in quite the way that we had hoped they would. So you'll find for 2026 we have dropped both of those classes for the time being, but we've got a couple of new classes and we've revamped a couple of other classes as well. We're actually doing a special Eurovision Song Contest class for 2026 because it's the 75th anniversary of Eurovision. It's a one-off, it's the final Saturday evening in the Royal Hall. It's an adult-only class, it's not a junior class, but in the spirit of the Eurovision, so it has to be a song that was in the Eurovision Song Contest over those 75 years. It doesn't matter if it was a winner or not, it could be just a song you heard that you liked, but that's us trying to kind of keep a fresher element in there, and like you say, modernise the festival as we go, but without getting rid of everything that it's been built on over the years.
That's the Manx Music Festival Secretary Sandra Loach. You can hear more on Spotlight tonight. Time for sport now. Fastamai, Rob.
Fastamai. Well, first off this evening, India has been announced as the host of the Commonwealth Games in 2030. The city of Ahmedabad, also known as Ahmedabad, has been formally ratified as the host for what will be the centenary edition of the Games in just under 5 years' time. It's expected the event will feature between 15 and 17 sports and will take place 100 years on from when the first Commonwealth Games took place in Hamilton, in Canada in 1930. Well, President of Commonwealth Sport, Dr. Donald Ricare, is describing this as the start of a new golden era for Commonwealth sport, and also adds India brings scale, youth, ambition, rich culture, enormous sporting passion and relevance, and I'm delighted to report strong interest from a range of nations to host the 2034 Games and beyond. We start our next century for the Commonwealth Games in good health. Well, officials have also confirmed the initial list of sports which will feature at the Games, and those sports are athletics and para-athletics, swimming and para-swimming, table tennis and para-table tennis, bowls and para-bowls, weightlifting and para-weightlifting, artistic gymnastics, netball and boxing. Meanwhile, several other disciplines remain under consideration to be included, and among those being considered that the Isle of Man contested at the previous Games in 2022 are badminton, cycling and triathlon. Well, the process to finalise the programme will start next month, with the full lineup expected to be confirmed and announced next year. The hosts can also propose up to two new or traditional sports. Before then, the next Commonwealth Games will take place next year in Glasgow on a reduced 10-sport format from the 23rd of July to the 2nd of August next year. And finally, in motorsport, the Manx Rally will play host to a round of a new championship being introduced in 2026. Well, the Ireland event, due to take place on Friday the 8th of May and Saturday the 9th of May next year, has been selected to form a phase of the new Roger Albert Clark Historic Asphalt Championship. It's hoped the new competition will allow teams in all categories of historic car to compete in a dedicated asphalt series. The Isle of Man meeting will be the second of 5 weekends that the championship will run across between February and September next year, and subject to how well the new look competition is received, officials say the schedule may be increased and extended in 2027.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Well, that is all from Update this evening. If you've missed any part of the programme, want to listen back, why wouldn't you? It will be available as a podcast very shortly. Coming up next on Manx Radio, it's Spotlight with Howard Kane, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. A cultural look at what's happening, including your chance to do that Eurovision number right here on the island. Rob is picking his already. At 6, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. The Opera Hour with Ernie Thorne is at 9. And then Dave will be with you with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. We'll talk to you at the same time tomorrow.
Put a price on keeping safe, but rest assured, you'll be happy, roadworthy, and